This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Jace here on this Wednesday afternoon. Chris Mason and David Price this hour. Don't forget to get to our bracket, thegamenashville.com. Put in your vote. You've got about another 8 hours to cast your vote, and we are going to continue to whittle this thing down to our Elite Eight and the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. Chris Mason, driven by Freeland Chevrolet, joins us this time every week, also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountaintops.com. C-Mace, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's new and exciting?
There's not a ton new other than, you know, just checking the news, scouring Twitter, keeping busy, kind of the same old, getting into a good routine, though, getting some structure. How about you guys?
Same old, same old. 4 hours a day figuring out, and as we see things come out, so I want to know. We've been talking about this stuff that's starting to get out there as people are starting to get in on these Zoom calls and say, okay, all right, we can't sit here on our hands forever. We're going to have to figure out some new solutions. We talked with Scott Burnside in the first hour. What do you make of some of the stuff you're hearing of, especially some of these sports, trying to figure out alternative routes to getting their sport back out on their playing surface?
Well, I like it. I think, you know, honestly, as long as they, you know, they're not going to do it unless they can make sure it's safe and they find a way to, you know, there's been some talk of neutral site events and, you know, those types of things and doing it in one location and trying to, you know, North Dakota's been thrown out there for hockey. And I really think as long as they're able to find a solution that it's safe for everybody and they can do it feasibly and make sense, especially to finish the NHL season. It'd be a travesty not to finish this year. So I think if they can do it and make it safe, I'm all for it.
Something we haven't seen yet, but we're going to when this gets back. I mean, we are definitely going to see this in all sports, is the no fans in the stands. And we were headed down that path, and then it ramped up in a hurry. Went from no fans in the stands to, yeah, it's gone. We're going to take a hiatus. Well, what is that going to be like? And I want to know from a guy who played, what was it? Did you ever play in front of no one?
Well, you know, honestly, I can't really remember a time where that happened. And I was thinking about that a lot when, you know, the news of the league first shutting down after the NBA did. And then, you know, then they're talking about playing that game in Columbus with no fans. I thought that it was crazy. I started thinking about it, and you just think about, well, they still have the music going. I'm sure that'll be one of the things. The game ops will still go on. But just the sports without the fan participation, it's just not the same. Obviously, everyone that plays loves the competition and plays for the love of the game, and it's, you know, it's the best game on earth and playing sports and doing that. But without the emotion of the fans, I mean, that would be something just dearly missed. It'll be very interesting to see how that would translate on TV, because, you know, the broadcast, obviously everybody that's a hockey fan will be watching the games on TV, But without that emotion, without that that powerful energy and the momentum swings and just the everything about the fan experience attached to the game, I just don't know what that would feel like. I really don't. It would be a really weird, surreal type of experience.
Chris Mason is with us, and we're talking a little hockey with him, talking life in this situation here. So, Mace, your latest thing here, and you've got a number of things in the works if people are following Mace on social media. You never know what's coming next. And so today we have the Spider-Man Challenge. I'm going to start calling you Spider-Mace. But congratulations. Has all the blood come out of it, come back to normal circulation here? Your head was purple by the time you pulled this trick off. But congratulations. That was a pretty tough feat there. I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it either. My my friend, he's a little goalie. He's 13 years old from back home, challenged me to do this. And, yeah, my head did look like a tomato, a nice ripe tomato. But I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it. I gave it a shot, and I was able to pull it off. But, you know, another thing, just trying to have fun and just try to, you know, keep the distractions and something on social media for people to kind of tune out for a couple minutes. And I was pretty proud of myself for actually completing that, because I honestly didn't know if I was going to be able to.
Okay, go to CMace30 on Twitter to see what we're talking about here. He has now challenged Pecorine to try to pull this off. Do you think it's easier for a goalie to do this, Chris?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I guess I'm not really a goalie anymore. I'm a broadcaster. I'm a color analyst, so I don't really consider myself a goalie anymore. So I fancy myself more as a pickleball player these days.
All right, so the next question with the Spider-Man theme to it, where did you get the Spider-Man suit? That is big time. Like, that wasn't just like your old Halloween costume that you get at the drugstore or at the grocery store or at the Walmart. You know, this was big time.
Well, it actually was. It was an Amazon special. It was $29.99 for that thing. It's like a spandex. It's hard to see out of the eyes, though. That's the only thing I don't like it. It's got it's really tough to see out of the eyes, but it looks good. Like, it fits right to your body, and it's really perfectly fitting. Or I guess already the right size. But yeah, it was a $29.99 special on Amazon. So there you go.
Oh man. So Mace, just picking up on this theme here. Would you just if you were on the committee, right? Let's take all the safety issues and the health issues and leave that to the health experts. But if you were just from a competition committee standpoint, let's say the right date comes along, maybe it's in 2 months, maybe it's in 3 months, maybe it's in a month and a half. Who knows? But they say, all right, Mace, how many teams should resume play? Would you say 16, 20, 24? Where would you go with that? Would you just go with a postseason tournament? Or how would you try to approach it?
Well, you know, there's going to be some teams that aren't going to be happy with whatever way they decide it. If they want to get creative and try something new for the sake of the situation, you could do, you know, like some European leagues do. They do a play-in from 8 to 10. So 8 plays 10. 8 plays 9, 7 plays 10. And you do a best of three, and that's the kind of plan for the teams that might get bumped because of the, you know, points per game situation. I don't know, but personally, if I was doing it, and you know, obviously the longer it goes, the more difficult it's going to get. I would do it based on, you know, points per game. That's the only fair way to do it. It's not fair to put a team in that's played more games that has more points. And it does suck for somebody because, you know, teams that were fighting for it or a team that may be in right now with the points per game, but they played more games, they're going to get bumped out. But I really don't know. It's going to be – my biggest concern is for the players' safety, because I know what it was like during the lockout when we had that long layoff. I'm sure the guys are really – you know, there's light here at the end of the tunnel. People are trying to stay positive, and they haven't shut it down, and there's still talk of it coming back. But I think I would – if it were me, I would go 8 teams – if they don't want to go outside the box and they want to keep it traditional, I would do the 8 teams, and then it's based on points per game. And that would put Preds against Vegas first round. But if they wanted to get a little creative, I'm not opposed. Can you imagine the type of hockey and the intensity of those best of three series to get into the playoffs? It'd be like the baseball play-ins, you know, when they have that wild card playoff game.
It would be amazing to see that. I'm not sure the NHL would do it, but you know what? I think they're pretty open to anything, whatever it takes to get it done and keep the fans engaged. And to me, the more teams, the merrier.
Chris Mason is with us, Predators analyst. And I think something, too, that, you know, you guys kind of touched on earlier, but, like, Chris, for you, you know, as a team broadcaster, you and Willie, I mean, is that something that, you know, you would obviously consider that, you know, you'd be away from your family, like go into, I call it the commune, but it would be just like being with one of the players of you'd have to be away too. And that's obviously would be tough on you and your situation with your family. Is that something that you've kind of given some thought to?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I have actually, and I'm all for it. You know, it's a crazy time right now. And I just know if the NHL or any of these major sports organizations are going to do anything, they're going to do it right. So I would have, you know, full confidence that, you know, we'd be safe and we'd be doing the right things in terms of, you know, continuing to social distance and, you know, do the self isolation or quarantine, at the respective location. So I really have no issues with it. I'd be all for it, to be honest with you.
My thing, too, is, you know, obviously having played the goalie position, I would assume that the league would allow teams that are in this, whether they just pick it up from the playoffs or they pick it up from the regular season, you're going to have expanded rosters because you have to. So I would assume that each team carries maybe even four goalies. They're both of their AHL goalies just in case injuries happen. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I think so. You would have to, you'd have to have a black A squad as well. For that purpose as well. And that'd be, you know, another challenge because they usually skate after the guys have their normal skates, and they definitely have to carry an extra goalie and a few extra players as well and open up the rosters. So some of the guys playing for the Milwaukee Admirals at the end of the season will definitely be traveling with the team, I would imagine.
If you're a player, and I may have asked you this before, but if you're an older player that, you know, you're weighing the decision or were weighing the decision earlier this year, okay, this might be it for me. You know, I haven't made that decision, but this could be it. This could be my last season. Now all of this happens. How do you think some of those guys, and I'll use Zdeno Chara as being one of the older players in the league, how do you think he's going about thinking of this situation of does he want to go through a training camp type situation only to retire a few weeks later? I mean, I don't know if he's had that thought. I'm just using his as an example. But what do you think is going through their minds?
Well, I know as a player, you know, I was in that situation in the lockout in 2012, 2013. And, you know, that's a very similar situation for a lot of players that are older. There's been a lot of lockouts that have ended guys' careers. And I know for me, if I was in that situation, I would do anything possible to play and to finish this season, especially if you felt or you knew that it was going to be your last or one of your last, you'd want to do anything to play. And a guy like Zdeno Chara, I played junior with him. I know him well. He's a fitness freak. So even though he's not playing hockey right now, you know he's doing stuff to stay in shape. But, you know, I'm sure all the guys, almost I could bet 100% of them, you know, would want to come back and finish this season as long as they can make it safe. And I know that if they're going to do it, they're going to do everything in their power to do that. So I have no doubt that anybody, you know, that's playing right now or maybe retiring would want to finish this season for sure. There's no doubt in my mind.
It'll be interesting. I'm glad we're having the discussions at least. I think that's the first step. Thanks for doing this. As always, you and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Hang in there.
You too. That is Chris Mason every week, driven by Freeland Chevrolet and also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountaintops.com. David Price at the bottom of the hour. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. A lot of you are working from home, just like us, during this pandemic. You can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable Alexa skill, or Google Home. These are all options, and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or live stream from your website, thegamenashville.com. Good stuff there from Chris Mason, David Price. At the bottom of the hour, we've had some really interesting conversations. Scott Burnside in the first hour from The Athletic. He wrote a piece yesterday on The Athletic, what would a centralized NHL playoff tournament look like? I know Elliot Freeman, who we talk with on Thursdays at 1 o'clock, has also thrown out stuff as well. Jeff Hemm, the play-by-play voice of the Nashville Sounds, Of course, their spring training site for the they're of course affiliated with the Rangers. The Rangers are out in that Phoenix area. I think they're like 20, 25 miles. Remember that whole, all those spring training sites, that everything is like a 60-mile radius. And there would be a lot of availability there if Major League Baseball kind of wanted to turn that into their Olympic Village, their compound, whatever you want to call it. The NBA has thrown out Las Vegas. So we talked to him about that dynamic. We played you some of the Dana White interview on Get Up this morning about how the UFC, what they're doing. And so it's just, it's, you know, this is what happens. The longer this goes on, I'm glad we're having these conversations. I don't know what's going to come of it. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know how you're logistically going to make it work. But I am pleased to hear the conversations are taking place. People are thinking outside the box, because sitting here just going, well, we'll just stay in our homes until we find a vaccine, that's not the solution. It's not. It's just that we have to be realistic.
Well,
okay, we have to be realistic and know that is great, and that truly would be, you know, the most obvious thing to do, to I guess cut the curve, to keep the numbers down, keep this contained. But economically, we cannot do this as a country. We cannot sit here until we come up with a vaccine, whenever that is. We have to think outside the box and do other things. And look, we've already talked about it. It's not going to be normal moving forward. I've told you, my wife's making a mask. I never thought in my lifetime I would wear a mask out in public, not even a goalie mask. I haven't even done that in my lifetime. But, you know, that's what we're going to be doing. And I suspect we'll all be doing this here in the very, very near future. When we go out of the house, we'll wear a mask. And so we're going to have to do things differently. We're going to have to train ourselves to do things differently. We already are. But I'm happy. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I feel like you're in the same boat for the most part. But I'm glad we're at least having the discussions.
Yeah, and look, I think, and I'm going to use you as an example, Darren, because I think there were people early on in this that, you know, kind of look, hear these ideas and go, I don't know if that could really happen. I don't know if you could pull that off. And we might find out that you can't. But I believe what you just said, that the fact that there's discussion and the fact that people are willing to listen and change their minds, because I think you both would agree that the three of us, we have all changed our way of thinking many, many times over since this whole thing began. Agree? I mean,
The layers that we've gone through from the start of this to where we are today of this show, holy cow.
Because I know I went from, look, there are no events are not going to get canceled. Like, they're not going to play in empty arenas, to 2 days later going, you know, they're probably going to play in empty arenas. I think they're getting to this point, to, hey, you know what? They probably need to cancel the NCAA tournament. I mean, that I never thought that I would have that way of thinking. But that's what this whole thing has done, because it's so unknown. So,
but don't forget everybody else has done it, too. Don't forget the Blue Jackets came out, remember, and said, we're playing the Penguins on Thursday, and we're playing the Predators on Saturday, and we're going to do it at Nationwide Arena in front of everybody.
They did.
And then the next thing you know, it's like, yeah, no, actually, we're not going to do it in front of fans.
And the Ivy League kind of started the ball rolling when the Ivy League said, you know what, we're done. We're not playing our championship. We're not playing our tournament. That's what really started things. And so and I think that's okay. I don't think anybody should – I don't think we should bang on anybody for changing their minds through something like this, because new information becomes available, and Rudy Gobert put a face on it. And once a face got put on it, it changed everything. Agree? I mean, I think that changed everything. And
well,
so you're allowed to change
your mind. We're always going to remember that.
That'll be a
trivia
question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think most people will get that right. I think the tougher – that wouldn't be too tough for our Friday afternoon trivia, which I've been blasted for having too tough of questions. I don't think the Rudy Gobert will be a tough one. I think it would be the second guy, right, the other guy that tested positive on the Jazz, Donovan Mitchell. That would be the trickier one. But going back to your question, Darren, I think it's great to have the discussions. I think that's the only way you can – troubleshoot, right? And also, when it sort of does get filtered through the media and the sports audience and the public in general, you do get a sense of where the public is, at least today, right? I think this is one thing I think about when you ask this question, and you just went through the evolution of it, Jace, is the way we feel about everything today might not be the same way we feel next week or next month or even tomorrow, right? Yeah. Because the picture changes as
that's
the
okay.
data comes out and we learn things. Yeah.
It's okay.
Sure.
You don't have to have an opinion and stick with it. I mean, because everything is constantly changing and fluid, then you're allowed to change your mind. I've just admitted.
And
so,
not
yes.
always for the better, right? I mean, it might be you more optimistic, and then the next day you might think, oh boy, this is
– there's
you know what I mean? It could go in a number of different directions.
Do you think there's people in that category? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I've just admitted that, yes, I was – very skeptical of how are you going to pull this off? I mean, that you can't do that. This, and here we sit on Wednesday, and I'm the one sitting here going, you know what? This is what these type of discussions, we do need to be having these. Like, we do need to, because I realize that the bigger picture, we can't sink this country and just sit here and wait. We can't. Because it's 10 million today, and the next thing you know, we got 50 million unemployed. And that guess what? That's bad. I think that's really bad. Okay, we don't need to be talking about that. That's not what we need to be having. It's already been bad enough dealing with this, and we can't have everybody worried if they're going to lose their houses. They can't feed their families, right? They can't survive. Like that does not need to be part of our discussion. And I hope we don't get to that. And so I like the fact that they're being proactive, because there's so many layers to this. If your daughter was a little bit older and she was in college playing, let's say, soccer at North Carolina, who's a powerhouse? North Carolina, aren't they a powerhouse soccer program?
I'm not sure.
Yes, they are.
Okay. I bet they won like a zillion national championships. But If we were talking about Evie at North Carolina, and you're a proud dad, and you know this is awesome, and we've already talked about it. If they do not play college football, which once again this is why we're having these discussions, it may not be in front of anybody, but they need to figure out how to play the games if that's possible. I don't know, but we've already talked about already. AD's going, here's the deal. Like, we want to be safe and we want to do the right thing. But if we don't have a season, yeah, a lot of our sports are going away. And the North Carolina AD says, yeah, like girls' soccer. Like, women's soccer is going away. Like, that sport isn't coming back.
It's so complicated on the college front because the players are students, right? And you're talking about a college campus where you've got a lot of people together. I mean, that is very, very complicated. Very complicated. I'm sure we'll get to it in the coming weeks.
You know what I mean? But I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want parents to have that conversation of, oh, great, my kid's sport is being eliminated. Like, I don't want to have that discussion.
Because once you do that, you don't come back from it.
No. Well, at least, you know, I don't know if you'd never come back from it, but, I mean, it goes away for a while. That's for sure. I mean, UAB went away for a while, but then they came back, right? So I don't want to say never, but – you know, I don't want to have that conversation, period. I do want to have a conversation with David Price, and hopefully we will do that on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget, you've got about 7.5 hours to continue to vote. We're going to get the left side of the bracket. Four more athletes will advance in our Nashville's best sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. In the Tim Corbin region, the number one seed is David Price. And currently he's going up against the four seed Frank Wycheck to try to advance to our Elite Eight. Currently, Chase, where does that stand before we get to our next guest?
Right now, David needs to he needs to rally the troops a little bit. To get some help, because he is trailing. He's cut into the lead a little bit, but it's 56-44 right now with Frank Wycheck in the lead.
Okay, 7.5 hours to go. David Price is on the line with us. David Price, 24, on Twitter. You've heard, David, you're going to need to get the call. All of your fans need to get you to vote. Get them to vote for you and get you into the Elite Eight in our bracket.
I think Mr. Whitechek kind of got stiffed on the rankings. He's he's a pretty big icon, you know, in Middle Tennessee. I remember where I was when Music City Miracle happened and his part in that and how special that was of a time in my life. You know, it was one of those moments that I will definitely never forget. So if I lose to somebody, you know, Frank Whitechek's a good somebody to lose to.
Well said. All right, Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher David Price on the line with us. Is it weird to hear that? It's weird to say it.
I think the weirdness has kind of worn off a little bit.
Okay.
You know, it's just, for me, everything's kind of come full circle. You know, the Dodgers are the team that drafted. Kind of came full circle with them. You know, the first GM that drafted me out of college was Andrew Friedman. You know, he is the GM with the Dodgers. So just a lot of pieces falling back together. It's pretty neat to see that.
So how are you and your family dealing with the pandemic that we're going through? How has this been at home? This is obviously unusual for all of us.
Yeah, it's been unusual. You know, my son doesn't understand why we can't go to the park and stuff like that, and just why we have to stay at home, but. You know, we've been handling, I feel like, as best as we could. Everybody trying to stay active and going outside and is doing as much as we can outside and trying to social distance as well. But it's definitely been different. But, you know, I think if everybody continues to do their part and social distance, we will get through this.
Yeah, well said. Your sport is a little bit unique, as you have the ability. I think baseball and basketball to. You know, a lot of people have a setup at home where you can do things with your sport. Hockey players, they don't have a rink in their backyard, and so the playing surface prevents them from doing. So as a pitcher, as a Major League Baseball player, what can you do at home to I guess, get you ready when it's time to go moving forward?
I mean, body weight workout stuff. I mean, if you have a gym, that's obviously that works too. If you have a net, you know, like a net you can hit golf balls into, you can throw into that. There's a lot of different ways you can kind of get your work in. Obviously, it's not going to be the same. You know, you can't compare the intensity of facing somebody wearing a different jersey and stuff of that nature. So you're just trying to deal with this the best you can. You know, there's sock throws, putting a sanitary sock over your arm. And putting a baseball there at the end and just playing catch into that sock. You know, that's something I've done whenever I've been coming back from injuries or been on vacation and hadn't had anybody to throw with. You know, this is it's all stuff that I've done before. So just trying to stick with that program as best as possible and stay ready for whenever they tell us to come back.
David Price is with us. We're talking baseball with him. And, of course, he is one of the top national athletes of the last 30 years. And, David, we've had some great conversations with some of your peers that you went to school with at Vanderbilt, or maybe some guys that came along a little bit before you, a little bit after you, and also a lot of these Titans and Predators we're talking about as well. But so let's go down memory lane a little bit. I remember reading a story about you as a kid, and I'm sure we've all been a little reflective here, but it involves you at your house by yourself picking up a ball and hitting it over the top of your house and then going to the other side of the house, the backyard, hitting it back over to the front yard or something like that. Do you remember that story? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a story my mom would always tell about me whenever I was two and a half, three years old, just going outside with a little wiffle ball and a plastic bat and hitting the ball over the house. And I know my son can't do that, but I have – the next teammate in Brock Holt and his three-year-old little boy, he absolutely drops bombs. And it's fun to watch. He posts a lot of videos of it, and I've seen it in person. So now that I've seen a two-and-a-half, three-year-old do that, I can kind of believe my mom's story a little bit more now. But that's a story that she continues to tell. And hitting was always something I really enjoyed doing.
So as you grew up, those formative years, it's funny when we're talking about these backyard games, I feel like a lot of us are trying to come up with creative games like this that you can do under the circumstances. We're playing a lot of wall ball at the end of the street off a brick wall, the back of a grocery store for my son and I, just throwing it up there. But when you decided to – what was the key to your development when you were that age? Let's say, you know, those Little League ages, 8, 9, 10. Who were the key influences on you? Who kept you on the right path, and who got you really interested in baseball?
I have to say my parents got me into baseball. You know, I was the only one in my family that played it. You know, we always watched the Atlanta Braves play. You know, that was something we did every single night. You know, we watched the Braves play and ate dinner. It was just part of our routine, and I fell in love with the Braves. Obviously, their dominance over the 90s and early 2000s was, you know, something that I was a fan of, and I think, you know, watching all the great players that they had, you know, my favorite player was David Justice, but being able to watch, you know, John Smoltz and Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine and all those guys go out there and pitch, you know, that helped me as well.
This is another well-told story from the past that I know you've told many times, but I think it was in an article. I believe Lee Jenkins wrote it. It had to do with your first fall semester at Vanderbilt, where you were kind of at a crossroads. You hadn't done great on a really good program that was building at the time, and you really had to sort of redirect it, and you had some heart-to-heart talks with Tim Corbin. But it involved, I guess, the word that everybody had stuck with them is you were saying – you were going to go work at McDonald's or something like that. Remind us of that story and take us back to that point, because obviously your life has gone in an amazing direction since then.
It was my first fall in college. You know, just in high school, I never had to take books home to study, and I made really good grades, you know, my entire life. And then going to Vanderbilt, that was a change for me, you know, having to prepare and study for classes and put in the time that way. And it was also very demanding on the baseball field. You know, that was I wasn't used to being surrounded by guys that were just as good, if not better than you. I was always the best player on the team growing up, and you know that had changed, you know, in a matter of just, you know, going to Vanderbilt. So all of that was very difficult, and it hit me, you know, really fast in that first semester. And where I walked in to the clubhouse one day at Vandy, and Coach Corbin had a list of all the pitchers. I think it was like 1 through 15. You know, I had them ranked, and I was number 15. I was like, "What in the world?" And that was after my first fall ball. I remember, you know, calling Coach Corbin one night. I was going to tell him that I was going to go work at McDonald's and just, you know, be a normal 18-year-old kid and you know, take that path. I didn't talk to him that night. I talked to him the next morning at the field, and he told me, you know, my future wasn't in flipping burgers at McDonald's. You know, my future was on the baseball field, and everything was going to get easier, and you know, I was going to find my routine at Vanderbilt and on the baseball field. And, you know, everything Coach Corbin always told me was always true. You know, it always came out to be true. From the first time they came over to our house, you know, and talked to my parents and I, it was, you know, everything that they foresaw in the future, you know, has happened. And Coach Corbin is a very special person to me. He is a father figure to me, and he knows how much he means to me. And the program at Vanderbilt, it's something I'll always feel like I'm in debt to him and that program.
We're talking to David Price, left-hander for the L.A. Dodgers and, of course, Vanderbilt and Blackman High School. And I'll ask one about your high school career, David, because the first time I ever met you was at Blackman High School. I was doing a local high school sports show, and we came over to do a feature on you as a basketball player. It was interesting because as we were walking out of there, one of the coaches, and I can't remember who it was, but he said, "Oh, by the way, you ought to see this guy play baseball. He's a pretty good pitcher." I was like, that's interesting. I didn't know that. But being a multi-sport athlete, and Mookie Betts, your teammate, who has now moved over to the Dodgers with you, he was a great multi-sport star as well. I know Tim Corbin always values that with a lot of the players that he recruits. But talk about being open to playing more than one sport. I think it's such a big emphasis that needs to be shared with young players.
And that was going to be another part of my answer to your question before about the biggest influences. on me as a kid, that was playing multiple sports. I was always playing something. You know, one season led into the other. You know, there was, you know, very little downtime, and I thought that was very valuable. You know, learning different roles on different teams, because you're not always going to be the type of player in every sport. You know, you might be really good at basketball, but not as good as, you know, in soccer or something like that, or baseball, and you.
Did we lose David?
Uh-oh. Is David there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay. We lost you just for a second there. You're back.
Where'd you lose me at?
You were saying different roles on the different teams. Like soccer, you might be not playing the same role as you do in baseball.
Right. You might not be the same player, you know, in different sports. You might be really good at baseball and not as good as basketball. So you're going to learn different roles playing the different sports, you know, at a different level of athlete, I guess. So I think that's very valuable for life.
David, as you moved over to the National League and you got, you know, you guys were close to wrapping up spring training and the season was supposed to start. Obviously, you spent your entire career in the American League, and you, as a pitcher, you don't swing the bat so too much unless you're playing interleague. So what has that transition been like of getting used to being able to go up to the plate?
We work on bunting a lot more. You know, that was something that we would do every other day. We would have the bunting station right after the end of practice, and that was something I enjoyed doing. And like I said before, you know, hitting was always something I really enjoyed doing. You know, even while I was in the AL, we always looked forward to those interleague games. You know, looked forward to taking BP those weeks before, and now BP is going to be something that I do, you know, on a regular basis. You know, I think they said they hit 4 or 5 times a week. So it'll be different for me, you know, just being on the base pass and running the bases and preparing for the game that way. It's just AL baseball is the only type of baseball I know with the DH. So all I had to worry about was pitching. And now I have to worry about hitting and running the bases and preparing for stuff that way. So it'll be fun. I enjoy hitting. I look forward to hitting my first home run, and we can talk about that when that happens.
Oh, yeah. Are you a better hitter than Sonny Gray? That's the key question, too, now that he's in the NL.
Sonny hit a triple in Cincinnati down the right field line last year. That was pretty impressive. It showed his athleticism. It showed how fast he was. So that is it's a very small park, and there's not a lot of triples hit out there, especially by pitchers. So that was pretty impressive. Sonny can swing it.
Last thing, David. We haven't had a chance to catch up with you since you obviously talked about your time at Vanderbilt and what Tim Corbin means to you, but what that second national championship meant for you last year. And, of course, unfortunately, this team does not get to defend their crown, but what that was like last June.
That was awesome. We're flying to London to play the London series against the Yankees. And they told us not to sleep on the way over there so we could get acclimated to the time change. So I had no problem in that. You know, I didn't get to watch it. Kind of just watched like the game day on my phone because the internet wasn't strong enough to pull up any video. But just watching how it all went down, got behind early, and everybody was kind of yelling at me, and we came running back. It was that was cool. And just for Coach Corbin and that program, you know, I know how much he's put into it, how much he cares, how much he loves each and every one of his players and his staff, which is what he's done for me. You know, I wish him nothing but the best and continued success for him and that program. And it's something I enjoy watching year in and year out.
That's awesome. By the way, what was that experience like? We watched it here, watching you guys play over in London, but what was that like to actually do that across the pond?
It was different. You know, I think everybody kind of had different opinions on it, but to be in that atmosphere and how they're explaining the game while we're playing it, and they had a bunch of different scoreboards that had different rules and, you know, what a sacrifice fly was and stuff like that, how we were kind of teaching the game at the same time while we were playing. I thought that was neat. Just all the ceremonies were really cool. All in all, it was a good experience. I'm happy I didn't have to pitch over there because balls were flying off of baseball bats at a very high high velocity. So it was different for everybody. I think I'm happy I don't have to do it again this year. It's canceled, but I'm sure a lot of people really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, you're right. It was fun for the fans to watch. Probably not a lot of fun for pitchers to watch. Hey, thanks for doing this. Yeah, always good to catch up with you. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, fellas, I appreciate it.
All right, that is David Price, former Vanderbilt pitcher, former Blackman pitcher, now a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, at DavidPrice24 on Twitter. He is currently as the one seed in the Tim Corbin region going up against Frank Wycheck. And remember, you've got a little bit more than 7 hours to vote at thegamenashville.com for the left side of our bracket as we get four more athletes advancing. And after tomorrow, we'll have this thing down to eight athletes. What did you guys think of it's been a while since we've caught up with David.
Yeah, last time I talked to him was at Mookie's bowling event, I guess, last year. I got to sit down with him.
Yeah, so he wasn't at this past one, but at the year before, yeah. And, of course, that was coming off his amazing performance in the postseason of 2018, the World Series run by the Red Sox, which has certainly solidified his legacy. Now, I was just looking at his stats, guys. It's easy to, I think, almost underappreciate, you know, what he's done in his consistency, right? 150 wins, only 80 losses in 12 years. And now he gets to go to the National League. I'm really interested, once we get back into the groove here and you're playing, what kind of factor that will be. You know, now that you're not facing a DH, you're facing a pitcher every time you go out there. I'm curious to see what he's got in the tank at age 34 and beyond.
Yeah, so am I.
I can't wait to talk about that.
I know.
Exactly. As I was saying that, I was thinking the same thing. Like, when is that going to be?
Right.
Can't wait for that to happen.
I know. That's why it's weird to ask him questions about, you know, spring training and adapting to the National League and with his new team, knowing that, well, it might be a while before we actually see this all play out. You may have to go through spring training again. But, you know, I when I pulled up his stats, and, you know, obviously we followed his career, you know, I didn't think about, like, he has pitched in the American League his entire career. So this will be interesting to see what he can do. And I think, you know, adding Mookie Betts, and Marquise, you're a Dodgers fan. I know you're very excited about having Mookie on your team, but that's a loaded roster. And David is going to play a key role in that as a part of the rotation.
Dave Roberts is going to find a way to just ruin it, though. So I try not to get too excited.
Wow. Man.
He's going to find a way. Man. I don't know how.
Raining on the parade, man. Come on.
I'm sorry, man. I got a Dodger shirt on as we speak, but I'm just saying. He's going to find a way. He always does.
Well, you add now David Price and Mookie Betts to a team that's got Walker Buehler and Matt Beattie, right? So you got four guys with Nashville ties on the same team. That's going to be a team we watch very closely once we get this thing back started.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. And those are some guys that we've talked to. Hopefully we'll get Mookie on this week, maybe tomorrow, before, because he will be a part of tomorrow's voting, sure, going up against Kevin Dyson.
Yeah, and we've said it over and over again, but that's what's been so much fun about doing this bracket, is getting to catch up with some of these names during this downtime and tell old stories and get their thoughts on everything going on. And you know, David Price is right there in the middle of it. I mean, he could be hypothetically playing in a month or so if this plan that we've been discussing with Arizona, you know, does come to fruition. And you know, I put 60% on it yesterday. I don't know if it's going to be May. I think that's a little ambitious. But I do think something of that ilk is going to happen here in the near future. And, Darren, you know, based on our earlier conversation, I mean, that's the thought process that everyone has to have. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how it affects all these people that we know.
Yeah, and as we've talked about today, how everything has been so fluid and constantly moving, that I do wonder where these conversations go, right? I'm very curious to hear if more data comes out, more information, more information on, you know, what they're discussing behind the scenes of how to actually pull this off, how to actually, you know, get over all the obstacles that they face having discussions on how to make this happen or try to make it happen. I don't know if they can pull it off or not. I certainly hope that these smart people will be able to come up with a solution to pull it off, because we're going to need it. I'm just telling you, I'll continue to beat that drum. Everybody knows this. We're all starting to figure this out as we sit here, you know, more and more on April 8th now at home. This is going to go on for a while, and what we're doing currently right now is the right thing to do, but at some point we have got to figure out solutions to keep moving forward and work around what's going on in a safe way. But, you know, we've got to keep the economy going too. That's what I know. And we're all going to get to a danger zone at some point, right? So
it's a puzzle that's going to probably change some directions. You know, there's going to be some evolution of this as we continue to discuss this going forward. But I'm glad we're just part of our own little discussion here. I hope a lot of people stay involved and keep enjoying our show in the meantime, because we're going to try to lay it all out for you, keep you informed, and bring to your attention what's being discussed in the different sports, and, you know, see how everybody feels. That's why we do shows like this. And here's a parting shot for the day, guys. I love hearing David Price. I hadn't heard him tell the story in over 10 years, right? This was a big story at the time when he first burst on the scene with the Rays. Our buddy Lee Jenkins wrote the story in Sports Illustrated. Can you imagine if David Price had left Vanderbilt and just quit baseball after the fall semester of his freshman year? Because he really was thinking about doing that. I think we've all had that moment in life where we had a little crossroads, and hopefully we took the right path.
Darren? Interesting thing just to throw out there, though. Flipping burgers at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wanted to be a normal guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
and Tim Corbin was the guy that said, "You're not normal.
I've never
your destiny
thoughts, right,
lies along a different path."
No, you've never had those thoughts, Jace. Well, I will say this as we exit stage left for this Wednesday. I know times are different, and as you were bringing up, Willie, if there's one thing that's come out of these shows, and even if you miss them, I hope you go back and listen. Interviews like that and interviews we've had over the last couple of weeks, we have had just some fantastic interviews on this show that I know a lot of you would like to hear from some really big and prominent names in the sports world. So if you didn't hear them the first go around, you should definitely go to our website, thegamenashville.com, and check it out. Have a safe rest of your day. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old, and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.